is Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P on 97.3 ESPN.
Final turn of the calendar page. How does that grab you? Quick year, wasn't it? Hey, you're inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of December 6th and 7th. Again, a happy new year. It's actually a little early because it starts on Monday. Buck week, firearm week, whatever you want to call it. It is a traditional deer hunting week down here in South Jersey as well as around the state. And also segment B of the bear season. This cold snap going on. Man, the ducks will be flying. And they are going to be really moving down from the more northerly climes. A little bit of that a little later on in the program. Duck influenza. Whoa, what's that all about? Tog bite is still ferocious. They're moving out a little deeper and still bass around. You get that west wind, they're still trolling them up, doing the shads, doing the jigging with some flutter spoons, believe it or not. And there's still plenty of saltwater action going on the freshwater front. Whoa, man, the chill is on, but there are some white perch with the feed bags on, man. Hey, we're really jammed. I want to talk quail in the next segment. South Jersey Quail Project. What happened to our bobs? Terry and Valerie Hyder from the South Jersey Quail Project coming up. Learn about this great little game bird. Let's try to bring it back. New Jersey used to be a quail hunting destination. South Jersey, I should say, a quail hunting destination. Man, long road to hoe, but it can be done. So grab that cup, grab that Red Bull. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
The Big 12 Championship on ESPN Radio.
Now, the stakes get much higher.
Fourth-ranked Texas Tech faces 11th-ranked BYU. Both 11-1, and a trip to the college football playoff is on the line.
Watch him fly deep. He's got a wide open man. Touchdown!
Fourth-ranked Texas Tech faces 11th-ranked BYU.
It's college football's later today on South Jersey's classic rock station, Rock 104.1. Coverage begins at noon.
Brought to you by First Bank of Sea Isle City.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. on 97.3 ESPN.
Hey, we're back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Week of December 6th and 7th. Hey, you're tuned in 7 to 8 a.m., 50,000 mega far-reaching watts of the Rack and Fin Radio message, 97.3 ESPN FM. Streaming live in that slot, 97.3ESPN.com. You can download the 97.3 app or go to Apple, Spotify, YouTube, and some other platforms to get the Rack and Fin Radio podcast, which is usually supposedly posted on a Saturday afternoon or sometime Sunday, maybe Monday. But the podcasts are out there from the past couple of years, so get the Rack and Fin message going. Okay, now there is a pause in the pheasant and bobwhite stocking until, like I said, the 16th. For the various deer seasons, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But again, we're talking about the other day, my wife and I were sitting there, we're hanging around saying, yeah, the quail, we were out the Greenwood, and you heard some quail calling, was towards the evening, and it's such a cute little, you know, I guess they're getting together, calling each other to get into roost for the night. And I told her, I said, you know, way back when, Jersey was, especially South Jersey, was a quail hunting destination. You had hunters from Maryland, from Massachusetts, there were Pennsylvania coming in. We had some fantastic native bobwhite hunting. Unfortunately, the bobwhite has befallen hard times, not only in Jersey, but pretty much around where it's found in the contiguous U.S., even in some of the more popular quail hunting states, Texas, you know, down through there. But in Jersey in particular, the last time I had an opportunity to hunt native bobs was back, I had an article, I think it was in New Jersey Outdoors, I think Winter Bobs in the Garden or something, back early 90s. It was on the Middlesex, southern Middlesex, northern Monmouth border. Some farmland edges, just perfect quail habitat. I said, wow, this is, not that I hit it, I think I had one or two, not that I hit it, but we had some great dogs working, but that is a thing of the past. However, there is an organization, has since, I guess, I believe it was 2007, working very hard, putting their blood, sweat, tears, and everything else into it, trying to reestablish bobwhite quail populations in former South Jersey habitats. Joining us online right now, a very special guest, Rack and Fin Radio, is South Jersey Quail Project. Good friends. I ran into them again. I met them once several years ago. I ran into them again at that, I think it was in April, at the Sportsman's Jamboree down there in Gloucester County. They had the quail and the pen in a whole bit. We got to talking, and they used to belong to a show, again, another hunting and fishing show that was a great show that went by the wayside called Sportsman's Hotline. And it was, again, getting the word out about getting the bobwhite quail reestablished. And, man, this ain't easy. This is, and some people say it's a fool's errand. I don't know. I don't agree with that because there is hope, there is opportunity, but there are so many overriding factors in trying to reestablish the bobwhite quail. Hey, crew, how's it going? Glad to have you on.
Hey.
Valerie and Terry.
Good morning.
Hider.
How you doing?
Valerie and Terry Hider joining us live. It's been a while. How you folks been?
Good morning.
Good morning, Tom. How you doing, buddy?
Good to talk to you again. It's been a while. It was great meeting you again at that Sportsman's Jamboree. That was some show, and you really opened my eyes into what the organization is going through, the effort you're putting to reestablish Bob's in the southern tier counties again. But, man, it's not easy by a long shot.
It's an uphill battle, Tom, and I appreciate you for noticing, you know. And like I say, we come out to those events like that just for that, so we can meet people like yourself that can give us a hand, you know?
Well, anything I can do. But again, how did the South Jersey Quail Project begin? I think it was, you told me, it was 2007, the catalyst behind this.
Yeah, basically, like you said, 2007 was our early beginnings. You know, several members of the quail hunting community, they believed something needed to be done. You know, they saw what was going on, just like you alluded to. And, you know, they wanted to ensure their survival. And, you know, the state has done many studies. You know, we all know the demise. We know what's going on. We know they're not there. You know, so that's what they wanted to do. They wanted to say, hey, can we do something about this? And that was their mission. And that's how the South Jersey Quail Project got started.
Yeah, Joe Matter and Doug Ramshore were the founding members.
Yes.
Joe Matter, that name may rest in peace. Joe, he was a cannibal. I remember he had a small write-up for Sportsman of the Year. I believe it was in Field and Stream for the Quail Project. He was one of the candidates.
Exactly. Yes. We were with Field and Stream for Heroes for a Day twice, actually, in 2011 and 2014. Yeah.
Really fun stuff. Really good.
Again, the work is, nothing's insurmountable within reason, but you guys have a mountain to climb. But again, the decline of the bobs, obviously habitat loss, what else? A lot of factors. Everything wants to eat quail. We know that. But again, especially in South Jersey, what happened?
Well, that's a good question, and we've all been asking that. There's no magic bullet here, Tom. You know, they're ground-dwelling birds. They live and nest on the ground. We've got to have the native grasses. We've got to have good, you know, a good maintenance system going here. You know, we have to have the prescribed burns, you know, in our forest. They eat on the ground, and when a leaf litter is, you know, a foot thick, you know, the deer can't eat anything in there. Well, nor can the quail. The quail, like I say, they peck and eat off the ground, being gallinaceous. Mm-hmm. So we've got to get back to forestry management. It is very critical. And then we have, you know, naturally farming practices, fragmentation of land, not so bad down here. Pesticides, predators, you know. We've got to get back to, you know, we've just got to take a really serious look at this whole situation as a whole, you know.
Now, the program in and of itself, now, have you worked to establish native populations? I mean, insofar as some properties, farmers cooperating, landowners cooperating in that vein?
Absolutely. Yes, we have. We have a really big one working with us. It's called Covia Corporation. Right down the road from us here in Dividing Creek, they're a sand mining company, and they've generously given us a acreage to perform a lot of habitat work.
Wow.
We hope to eventually get to a point where we can release birds and you know, watch them flourish and see what we have. But the bobwhite quail, they're a picky kind of bird. Mm-hmm. So you've really got to have things right for them to want to stay.
Dividing Creek Boat Rentals, one of my crabbing and carp fishing places.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, that goes way back.
Stumpy,
a lot of fun.
Stumpy's in that big crab trap in the sky from what I said. I hope he is. He's a good guy. But again, back to the quail. The last one I saw that I assume was a native, because I don't think they would survive you know, the Winters and the predation on the overall was in the Stafford Forge management area about 7 or 8 years ago. I have a photo of it. I said, there's a male bobwhite. It was right off Stafford Forge Road, right by that big that first lake right there. And before that, it was probably 10 years. Shout out to my good buddy down there in Seville, Joe Bauer. His former farm there, the guy had planted corn or milo or something. And I remember, and he had a pond in the back. I was fishing. I'm coming around. I had just put my camera in the case and put it in the back of the minivan, and I come around the bend on a hay bale right there, starting to call, as the biggest bobwhite cockbird I've ever seen. Photo opportunity of a lifetime. I reached out, he looked at me and said, yeah, right, but choo, and you know, he was gone. But people say, well, just stock birds, they'll hold over their nest. That's not reality, is it?
No, it is not. You've got to do your homework here. And we don't have access to, you know, wild stock. So our idea is to make better stock, you know, give them high protein levels, you know, build flight muscle, you know, show them the predators, and so to speak, you know, teach them, if you will, a lot better than just basically putting out a bird that has none of this experience.
Yeah.
So that can also, we're hearing rumblings of native populations that are actually coming back in the area.
We actually track sightings of quail, and people call us or send us emails and let us know, and we document those in our database. And we're working with Hideaway Quail Farm, where we have a flight pen, and we've established that for raising of these high quality quail. And we take those to events, we teach the public, we hold youth days, go to schools. We give presentations to educate the public, and the hope is that soon we'll have this flight pen where we can have groups and schools visitation come in. We're also going to be live streaming it on YouTube so people can actually watch the quail. And we've been told that the quail won't nest and won't hatch their own babies in captivity. Well, guess what? August of this year, we had a couple females laid eggs in a pot in our flight pen, and they hatched out 7 babies, and we have that on film and photos.
Great.
It's wonderful.
It is awesome.
Now they're... Yeah. Hopefully they'll raise their own.
Now that gives hope, and hope, as in Shawshank Redemption, hope isn't a dangerous thing. Hope springs eternal. Sort of a non sequitur, but sort of not. Those quail that you had at the Jamboree, man, they were almost the size of chuckers. They look quite tasty, but that's me.
Well, you know, that genetically also is important, because we have to realize that the bobwhite quail from the north are going to be different from the southern ones.
Right.
They need to have a lot more muscle mass and a lot more fat content to survive the harsh winter here. So that's genetically also something that you have to think about, you know?
Well,
so you saw that.
Let me proffer this. The great organization, Fish and Wildlife, I worked from 100 years ago. I know all the people there. They're dedicated, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, they have woodcock, flight things, or, you know, whatever. They're big on restoration, the brook trout up north. Oh, save the brook trout, et cetera. And the quail was new, besides the grouse, which is, that's another story, the quail is synonymous with, or was synonymous with, South Jersey quality bird hunting. It was just some of the best, as you know, in the Mid-Atlantic region. Has Fish and Wildlife helped you at all with trying to get this off the ground or trying to get something going?
Go ahead.
Well, we want to work more closely with them. Right now, as you know, there's a moratorium on hunting, and you can only hunt and put and takes in Greenwood and Peasley wildlife management areas. But they haven't really assisted us in doing anything, and we're not allowed to release quail. But those things are in talks right now.
Okay.
So they're hoping to have things come up maybe next year. There may be things that may be different, and then we'll be able to do more.
But I've got to say that the folks that we have been in touch with the state have been good to us.
Okay, good.
They're willing to work with us. So this could be a new beginning for a lot. We have to have, being they're the largest landowner, We try to work together. Right. We really do. So we need to establish communications, and we need Tom. Let's be real. We need funding. We need help. So you know that is a big one for us. So that would be good. You know, have them come forward and help us.
And volunteers, sponsors, donations. We're a 501c3 nonprofit organization. So all donations that come to us are tax deductible.
Mm-hmm. So we basically, we're reaching out to everyone. Everyone can help, you know. I mean, money is one thing, but manpower, you know, people helping is another. That's a very important thing.
Yeah, you know, the money could be there, but unless you have boots on the ground, hands in the dirt, you know,
exactly.
Gloves on, it all comes down to that. But again, it's just to reiterate, it is more than just habitat. You have weather factors, you have predation.
Yes. Yes, sir.
And besides habitat improvement, you have development, which is constantly eating up huge chunks of land, and again, forest management as well. They stopped a project up there. I think it's, what was that, the Wildcat Ridge Wildlife Management, a forestry project to open up, you know, for the songbirds, open up the ground cover, and the Sierra Club groups, like radical groups like that, shut it down or pretty much curtailed it. So you need the management of the forest as well, because you have woods coveys and you have field coveys and you have combinations of both. Is a lot, so much involved. I don't know how you guys sleep at night, or when you find time to sleep.
It's tough having. We both have regular jobs, and then do this as you know. But yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, and people have to understand that, you know, this is a part of our ecosystem. We can't let just this one piece go. You know, obviously, there's a reason why they were here. We need to bring them back. I can't just sit there on the couch and let it go. That's my thing. I'm not going to let this go. I want to see. I want to try something. I want to do anything. Try it and see what happens. You know, go from there.
Well, Valerie and Terry Hyder, thanks for joining us, listeners. The South Jersey Quail Project. Again, information on that, please. Is there Instagram? Is there Facebook? Is there a website? How do people learn more about this? Go.
Oh, yeah. We're on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn. Our webpage is sjqp.org. Our website, our email is sjqpcoveyup@outlook.com, and our address is P.O. Box 123, Port Elizabeth, New Jersey, 08348. Or if they want to call, they can call 856-340-6435 for more information.
Well, Valerie and Terry, that is a gorgeous part of New Jersey. I've had the opportunity to travel a lot of places. I've been to it a million times. Jersey is home to me, and it's so diverse with the different habitats. What I like to do sometimes, I want to follow up on this maybe in January, February, March, or not January, a little too early, maybe February, March, April. I want to come down there and look at some of these properties with you and explain to me firsthand what has to be, I'm putting this out on the air, what has to be done management-wise, habitat-wise. Let's see if I can help at all to get something going, because I love quail.
Okay.
I love to hunt them. I don't hit them much. I love to eat them when people give them to me. So I want it to come full circle, because this is like the grouse. I remember seeing grouse as a kid up in Stokes State Forest and High Point way, way out. You hardly hear them. And grouse in South Jersey as well. The last grouse I heard was by Lake Itsine. I was on a canoe trip back in there. One of the tributaries was at the Egg Harbor River, Mullica, whatever's in there. And I said, whoa, the guy said, yeah, that was a grouse. We have a few left down here. Now they're gone. It's important that we get the quail back, or at least a little foothold, something, and it's definitely worth the effort.
Exactly.
Well, guys, because they share the habitat with all the others, Tom. There's no question about it. If we work on the habitat for them, we're, like we say, our slogan, sharing habitat for all. Right?
You got it, guys. Take care. Have a very Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. God bless. We'll see you sometime end of January, early February. Let's set something up.
This is the radio home for Philadelphia Eagles football. The Eagles continue the 2025 season on Monday Night Football, heading to L.A. to face the Chargers.
You want to say crunch time? This is it.
Oh, yeah, this is crunch time.
Pre-game coverage starts at 7 p.m. with Merrill Reese and Mike Quick calling all the action starting at 8:50. This is where the Eagles play. 97.3 ESPN, South Jersey's Eagles Station. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. on 97.3 ESPN.
Here we go, the Gap Below, back inside Rack and Fin Radio, the B-Top P, week of December 6th and 7th. Hey, made contact with him in Florida, picking up his two lovely daughters, actually a ride back up from their university down there somewhere in Florida, is Jerry Vessels. Jerry is the owner, promoter, CEO, what have you, of the incredible Wildwood Fishing and Boating Expo. We have an update that's going to be January 9th through 11th, a three-dayer. We had him on about a month ago. One more update before he is live in the studio with us in a few weeks. Jerry, how's it going?
Oh, everything is wonderful, Tommy P. I'm standing in the boatyard at Fort Lauderdale, and it's gorgeous.
Hey, man, we have a cold snap coming up here. It's going to bring the birds down, I'll tell you, man. But this is one of those where you're in a tree stand or a blind, you got a snotsicle down to your chin. It's going to be that kind of... Hey, I'm looking, Jerry, I'm looking, hopefully, we keep this freeze up for another week or two. We'll have maybe some safe ice. Safe ice on South Jersey ponds and lakes. Get some ice fishing in. But speaking of winter, Jerry, let's get to the expo. Listen, it's January 9th through 11th. Mark it on your calendar. Get there. If it's anything like last or past few... Jerry, what, is it your 7th or 8th, 9th? It's just packed.
Oh, yeah,
you're 3 days now, and you have no more room in the hall, I hear. What's the dealio?
No, this is the first initial announcement. We're making it public. We are 100% sold out once again for 2026, which I'm super stoked and excited about. We got some new stuff coming in, a couple new boat dealers.
Oh, nice.
We're just really, really excited about this year, Tom. We are cocked and loaded, baby, ready to go.
Well, Jerry, especially from the dealers, you know, the financing, whatever the boats, the economy, let's put it out there. It's not the greatest, but they see the value or the matter of the chatter out there. When they see other dealers going in, hey, they're going in there for a reason, and bang, it's like the domino effect. You're wall-to-wall boats. Listen, there's plenty of fishing stuff. Don't get me wrong, but this is the early boat show. It's the real for the deal place because, Jerry, you have the same deals that they're going to have at these other bigger shows, correct?
Correct. It is 100% all dealer specials and any kind of deals you can swing with a dealer. You don't need to go to a different show. You just come to Wildwood. We have it all under one roof. 65 small businesses, which encompass 100 different vendor booths. We've got 14 boat dealers, all in 85,000 square feet, all in the beautiful Wildwood Convention Center.
Yep.
Plenty of free parking, free seminars all weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. 3 Yeti a day. Once again, we're giving away 3 Yeti coolers. We got some face painting and some other stuff for the kids going on. You don't need to go anywhere else.
Jerry,
just come to the Wildwood Fishing and Boating Expo.
Listen to me, people, because I do this at the shows. People, especially with the one show up there in Middlesex, I get my face painted like towards the end of the show. Well, Jerry, in all seriousness, I walked around that show again. I was there on a Sunday. I saw sold on many boats there. So it moves product, correct?
It most certainly does. We are very, very proud of what we become as far as moving the product. And that was something a few years ago when we moved the date prior to, you know, the Wuhan thing, we'll call it. And that we moved to January, and I had dealers that were apprehensive because they said the big show is coming up. The big show. Everybody goes to the big show. And Tom, we made that move, and the little guy showed the big guy that people don't need to wait till March to go to the big show. You're getting the same deals, the same dealers, the same great inventory, same great boats, same great pricing, and you're getting a more one-on-one with a dealer instead of just being herded through like a cattle chute.
Yeah, Jerry, I noticed that too. A lot of one-on-one, because I used to be in the big ticket sales merchandise for years, and that's important as far as, yeah, I'm not just a number. People care about me working out the most minutiae parts of the financing, getting the people the best price possible and the best service possible. And that's what seems to drive this show, is the dealers, and everyone's happy from what I see.
Everybody, the feedback, I love feedback, good, bad, indifferent. I want to hear from everybody what you like, dislike. And one of the very strong selling points is that same type of thing where it's like, you got to look someone in the eye, you got to talk to them, you had a firm handshake, and it was just nice not to feel like they were looking over your shoulder for the person behind you.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something, you know, I treat my vendors well. I believe we treat our customers well, and it all goes in line with how the show lines up and works out. We move product.
Join us on the line right now, calling from Lauderdale. Jerry Vessels, owner, promoter, Wildwood Fishing and Boating Expo, January 9th through 11th, already here. We were talking back in October. I said, Jerry, it's going to be here before you know it. He said, yeah, here it is, listeners, barely 4 weeks away. Well, Jerry, besides the boats, listen, you got some great custom rod builders there. One real company in particular I want to mention, antecedents here. The guys were from Penn, retired from Penn. They have their own company now. IRT Spinning Reels. Jerry, what a product that is, man. The whole line just unbelievable. IRT Reels. What's it called?
Intellectual. IRT is the creme de la creme.
That's it. Well, Jerry, also, the seminars. Let's go into that because, listeners, these are free, and you always have a great lineup of seminars. Who do you have off the top of your head? Who do you have?
Off the top of my head, we have Frank Mihalik, who is targeting Kofi Todd.
The Todd King himself, Mihalik!
He is. He's legendary. And then we have, new to the seminar circuit, is Captain Mike Smith, who's out of Never Enough Sport Fishing out of Avalon.
I know him.
He specializes in, bread and butter stuff.
Yeah.
Back Bay fluking, Oceanside fluking, which is, again, these are our people, Tom. This is who we're after. We have offshore again with Captain Steve Spagnuolo, Jig in the Abyss, with the different species that are available and different techniques. And we have a special guest that's coming in. I'm not ready to announce him yet.
Uh-oh.
Who else off the top of my head? We have Brendan. He's doing the safety seminar with, I'm going to butcher his name here in a second, Maritime Rescue Associates. I got it right. And they provide all kinds of first aid training and wound care, bandaging, simple things like that.
Let me interrupt you for a second. And you made this a point, and I saw an incident this past summer. Listen, something bad happens out there. You're not, down the block and there's the urgent care or something like that. You're 45.
No.
That is so important, Jared, that safety thing. Because I saw it and I said, whoa, this is real time reality here. A tragedy was avoided.
This is, and it's something, again, Tom, I've been on the water my whole life, and you don't give it too much thought. And I have 25 years experience in the first aid and emergency medical and all that stuff. So I feel pretty confident in doing something. But if it's somebody like yourself, like I said, you take a wrong move with a knife in your hand because you're cutting bait, and all of a sudden you've got a 4 or 6 inch knife sticking out of your side or in someone's thigh or something along them terms, and it's little things you don't think of, but it's reality, and it's a millisecond away from happening all the time. So introducing basic training and different things about it with literally. On these types of incidents, the reason they become so severe is because people don't know how to stop bleeding. They don't know how to control the situation. And Maritime Rescue Associates, they introduce that as basic classes and say, hey, this is good. Here's an upgraded first aid kit that is not going to break the bank. And it's certainly not the one you got off of Temu for $6.
He said that for my benefit, people. Okay, Jerry, listen, we're up against a break now. Let's get to it. You have, listeners, the Wildwood Fishing and Boating Expo, January 9th to 11th. Sold out. No more space available. You snooze, you lose. Jerry, you have the hallway there. That's where I talked to some guy. No, we don't want to be in the main hall. We want the hallway. People going and coming and going, coming and going. You have retail vendors. You got everything going on. Hey, will Marine Police or Fish and Wildlife be there?
Yes, we're going to have New Jersey State Police on hand, and also Fish and Game will be there with the conservation group that was there with them last year as well. So
great, yeah.
And that's a great thing. Like, I get the feedback from them guys, and they say, we really enjoy being at the show because we get to talk to people and interact with people instead of people just taking pop shots at us in the back of the room and telling them, you don't know what the heck you're doing. And,
I talked to one CA, he says, man, the people's opinion of us, no wonder we're hated.
oh, they're wicked. Like I said, I have a great relationship with these guys, and they're like, dude, you don't understand when you're going to certain areas, certain shows are just, they're like snipers in the back of the room taking pop shots at you about obscure regulations or something. And you're like, listen, I'm only human. And that doesn't.
That was a great song in the 80s, by the way. I'm only. Okay, Jerry, real fast. Yeah. Okay, let's go. 9th to 11th. Admission prices, please, off the top of your head. Go, Vessels, go.
We've got. On the 9th, it's 1 to 7 p.m. The 10th is 9:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Sunday, the 11th, is 9:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. Admission price is $12 for adults. It's $5 for children ages 6 to 13, and under 6 or under 5 is free.
Wow.
Our website, fishingexpowildwood.com.
And listeners, you got free parking. Free parking right there, Jer. That's a win-win.
Free parking.
Right with a beautiful Wildwood Convention Center. Easy to get to. Exit 4, even I can find it. I don't have a GPS. Straight down, bang.
Simple.
And you're absolutely right there. One question, Vessels. I know we talked about this earlier. Is that, there's a little non-endemic here, but Jer has a few of those going around, which they fit. You going to have that lady there with all that baked stuff?
Nona Lisa will be on the premises, Tommy.
Oh, God.
And she's got all the best snacky snacks for the boat. Where Lisa, they had a great family Italian restaurant growing up and everything, and Lisa does these desserts that are, they're good. They're good. My waist doesn't think they're that great, but I'll tell you, they're fantastic.
Listeners, they have little portable heart and lung machines. They give out some of the stuff. Well, Jerry, travel safely. Best to your beautiful daughters. By the way, you will be in the studio in a few weeks, I understand, correct?
Yes, sir.
I saw it
I
on the board.
I
saw
it
on the board. Now, what about your sidekick?
We will have at least one of the three there. They're all going to be home for this. So it'll be the first time in a couple years that they're all home together. So.
Okay, Jerry, you take care. Travel safely, man. We're up against a hard break. I'll see you in a few weeks, my brother.
All right. Thank you, Tommy.
See you, man.
Thanks.
Wildwood Fishing and Boating Expo. It's here already, man. 4 weeks away. And I just run around that show for 3 days like a madman. I love it. Yeah, spend money, of course. Absolutely. Check. Great rods. Got some custom rod guys there. Beautiful. Check out IRT Reels, man. They are absolutely super. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
Hi, this is Billy Schwime. Join me, producer Nick Earnshaw, and former Kansas City Chiefs wide receiver Dave Klemek as we talk sports with you Saturday morning from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. The struggling Birds head west to face the Chargers on Monday Night Football, and we will talk with former Eagle and current radio and TV analyst Brian Baldinger. Baldy will break down the Birds' play. Hour two will get our high school athletes in the spotlight with Fran McLaughlin, brought to you by the Philly Pretzel Factory of Egg Harbor Township. Flyers, Sixers talk and more. It's The Locker with Billy Schwime Saturday morning from 10 a.m. to noon on 97.3 ESPN.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. on 97.3 ESPN.
Yeah, back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Again, in a happy new year in a parallel universe of Rack and Fin Radio when the season opens and the cause for a new year celebration. It is, again, starting Monday through Saturday is the segment B of the bear hunt and the firearm, quote-unquote, use an old term, firearm buck week. Well, let's get it going. This Colts app, man, is really, really getting the duck hunting going. The birds are pouring down or going to be pouring down, especially with what's coming up this week. They're going to be roaring down the coast. The coastal duck hunting should be absolutely phenomenal. And then, and we talked about quail earlier in the program. And then, as if it just... God, there's no rest for anything. We've been lucky here in Jersey so far. Had a press release from Fish and Wild about the highly pathogenic avian influenza. What is that? It kills birds. It kills a lot of birds. It kills birds across game birds, songbirds, what have you. We have this next guest patiently waiting on the line. Thank you, Patrick, to discuss this back in January, how it impacts here. Now, so far, Jersey, we've been spared. I don't know how it's going to affect the duck hunting coming down or hunting the pheasants and the quail because they're still going to be stocked, how contagious it is. Joining us on the line right now is Patrick Connolly. He is a state wildlife pathologist, DEP, Fish and Wildlife. He's a DVM and MS. And how you doing, Patrick Connolly? Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Tom.
A little bit of adventure getting on, huh? It was a little wild this morning, wasn't it?
No worries.
Shout out to engineer extraordinaire Roy Nielsen. Okay, Patrick, let's get to it. Again, the duck hunting is going to, it's really good. I just love this cold weather duck hunting. The birds are coming down. They're still stalking quails, still stalking pheasants. Is this highly pathogenic avian influenza, otherwise known as HPAI, is that going to affect the hunters down here?
I think the biggest things we want to focus on when we talk with the public is, you know, reiterating that, you know, the CDC, all indications point to that the risk to humans is low. And so we just want to focus on general safety guidelines that hunters can utilize when they're out hunting, and as well what to do if you're out there and you see sick or dead wild birds, and what are the appropriate next steps.
Okay, when you some indications of a sick, do they always show the symptoms, or can they be infected and you don't know it? You shoot a mallard, you go, you eat it. Can it be passed to humans?
Yeah, so it can be passed to humans, and that's what one of the challenging things about avian influenza is, or highly pathogenic avian influenza, is that wild birds can carry it and not show clinical signs of disease, and so they can, be out on the landscape, appear normally, but be infected. That it's going to vary by species. Different types of birds on the landscape are going to be more susceptible as compared to others.
Okay, well, Patrick, what about, again, you have a, you know, you have some ducks, you have some geese, whatever. Precautions to take when you know, gutting them out, dressing them out. What do you do?
We always recommend wear disposable gloves when you're handling game, cleaning game. As soon as you can afterwards, wash your hands, warm water, soap. If you don't have that available, you're out in the field, you know, get in the habit, carry hand sanitizer with you.
Okay.
If you can, dress game birds out in the field. If not, do it in a dedicated area back at your property. If you have poultry, that's a situation where I think you should particularly have this issue. Top of mind, poultry are highly susceptible, and so you want to be careful if you're coming back home and you have chickens or turkeys or whatnot. Have dedicated clothing for your poultry, have dedicated clothing for your hunting. Don't mix and match. Be careful about your boots. Clean them off before you're getting back to your property. And as well, have dedicated tools for dressing birds, handling wild birds, and don't use those around your pets, around your poultry. Double bag, things that you're handling in the field, dispose of them. Obviously, I've said a lot, but, you know, it's all kind of, basic guidelines. Again, wanting to reiterate, risk to the public is low. But, of course, that risk is there. And so just following some of those kind of basic protocols, and I think people can be out there and continue doing what they enjoy in a safe manner.
Yeah, but it goes without saying, too, the bird meat should be cooked with internal temperature, what's it, 165, 166,
yes,
somewhere,
yeah,
in there?
Yeah, 160, minimum temperature, internal temperature, 165 degrees Fahrenheit for consumption.
Okay, join us online is Patrick Connolly. He is the DEP Fish and Wildlife State Wildlife Pathologist, talking about the highly pathogenic avian influenza, HPAI for short. We haven't experienced any outbreaks, have we, here in Jersey?
We have, unfortunately, we have.
Whoa!
We first detected cases of this virus here in wild birds in 2020, and we have detected cases every year since. It's ebbed and flowed annually, and it ebbs and flows seasonally, but 2025, this winter, was certainly at the worst on record for us here in New Jersey.
I mean, what species, like gulls, songbirds? I mean, it hasn't affected, well, pheasant, quail, stock pheasant, it hasn't affected them, has it? They're not out there long enough, I don't think.
it's really been the waterfowl driving a lot of our cases, waterfowl and raptors. Songbirds appear to be a very low susceptibility. They haven't, we haven't had detections of them here in the state. But yeah, crows, gulls, waterfowl, particularly Canada geese, snow geese.
Snow is what I was going to say, yeah.
In both of those species in 2025. And then a lot of our raptor species that are going to be scavenging some of those animals as they're sick and dying, and also can have severe outcomes from this virus. Eagles, falcons, hawks, owls.
Wow, man, that seems like, except for the songbirds, nothing's really spared. Well, Patrick, when you see that in Woodstown, also I see it up in Warren County on occasion, huge concentrations of snows. Is this thing really viral, and can it spread through big flocks like that, what, in a week, a few days, where it tends to be, you know, the die-offs?
Yeah, it can spread rapidly. You know, like most influenza viruses, it can spread readily, direct contact between birds. You know, relatively short incubation periods, and so it can certainly spread through a group of birds pretty quickly. You know, if you're out in the field, some of the things that we see consistently with this virus and animals that are showing signs, you know, neurologic symptoms, any type of twitching, circling behavior, inability to fly or stay swimming appropriately, inability to hold their head elevated, and then as well a lot of respiratory symptoms. You could see birds sneezing, coughing, discharge coming out of their eyes. Ooh. Those are all situations you know, want to avoid those birds, don't harvest them, leave them on the landscape, and report it to us so that we can go out and do testing as necessary.
Well, Patrick, question. You're cleaning a bird, you know, whatever. Somehow a human gets infected. It's predicated, too, on the person's, you know, individual health. Can it be fatal to humans?
So it can, unfortunately, it can be fatal, although it's exceedingly rare. There have been, to my knowledge, two humans in the United States that have died from highly pathogenic avian influenza, and so very few. Both of those people were older individuals with underlying conditions, and both of them also had owned and had contact with infected poultry. And so, you know, keeping that in mind, a little bit more of a perfect storm for transmission than a lot of the situations when people are out with wild birds in closed situations, poor ventilation. It's going to create a better situation for the virus to be transmissible.
Patrick, basic question. Where the hell does virus come from? I never heard of it before 2020. Is it invasive? Where'd it come from?
It first appeared in North America in 2021, but it was known to be circulating in Europe and Asia prior to that. It's believed to be a naturally occurring virus that's circulating in wild waterfowl, gulls, wild shorebirds, and for earlier this decade, it made the jump, you know, across the Atlantic and made its way to North America, and very quickly has spread throughout the continent here, and up and down the flyways.
And there's nothing that can stop it unless there's a lack of a host then, correct?
Yeah, and so, you know, for that reason is why we kind of will see these seasonal ebbs and flows. The virus does a lot better at colder temperatures, also in the winter as we have waterfowl that are carrying it coming down and congregating. It creates better situations for transmission. And so, you know, this spring and summer was very quiet here in New Jersey. But as fall migration picks up, we start to get some detections going again.
Well, Patrick, in closing out, we're up against a hard break here. What if someone observes a bird or birds, whatever, and seem to be infected or acting abnormally? How do they contact Fish and Wildlife or you to have some tests done or whatever?
Yeah, so the first thing always, you know, we recommend if you find a sick or dead wild bird, don't touch it. Leave it on the landscape. If you're out hunting with dogs, keep them away from it as well. It can be transmitted to dogs. And give us, you can find us on a website. We have a wild bird disease reporting form. You can find it on our Fish and Wildlife website, and you can put in all the information, location, species. If you can take pictures to verify so that we can verify species, that's always helpful. And otherwise, if you don't have internet access, you can call the Warn DEP hotline and put that report in, and that'll go to us. We have staff checking every report that comes in. We follow up as necessary for testing.
Patrick Carroll, thanks for joining us, spreading the word, pardon the pun, this HPAI listens. Again, be alert for birds out there. You see acting abnormally or you find dead birds for no apparent reason. And NJFishAndWildlife.com, and go to the appropriate link and please report it. Patrick, you have a great holiday season. Take care. Thanks for joining us again on Rack and Fin Radio.
Yeah, thanks a lot. You too.
We'll see you, brother. Yeah, another thing. What's a poor quail? Just another thing for those little things to worry about. Oh, man. Okay, grab that cup, grab that rebel. Be right back to wrap it up, Rack and Fin Radio. Boy, almost Christmas already. The deer season coming up, the bears in it. Where is the time going? Be right back.
Tonight on Compass Media Network's coverage of NCAA football, we bring you the 2025 Big Ten Football Championship game, featuring the number one ranked Ohio State Buckeyes and the number two ranked Indiana Hoosiers. Hi, it's Greg Daniels. Join Chad Brown and me for all the action as one of the nation's top football conferences crowns its champion.
It's College Football Saturday on 97.3 ESPN. The coverage begins at 8 p.m.
Brought to you by First Bank of Sea Isle City.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. on 97.3 ESPN.
Hey, wrapping it up this opening of Buck Week weekend, Tom P., Rack and Fin Radio. Down, and let's see, it's going to be the 6th. It's the 6th and the 7th. Opens up the 8th. Again, a Happy New Year segment B of the Black Bear season on with this cold snap, man. And then they have all the snow. But what is this? What is this bald-headed stooge in the State House get these weather emergency alerts, emergency things? It was nothing. I had an inch and a half of snow up there. However, with this cold, a lot of those bears have probably gone to den, so good luck with that. Looks like there might be an extension for the following week, the Wednesday through the Saturday, if they don't meet that management goal with the tagged bears. Just a reminder, too, one more time, the hunting and fishing licenses are now for sale for 2026. Shout out to Jim Big Tog Berdini. He was fishing aboard Fullerhead Sport Fishing. Captain Bob Cope there out of Utch's Marina. He was with a group, and, man, they hammered the tog. And from what I understand, the tog bite's still going strong down there in Cape May. And who better to give us a lowdown? Nick Dutton there, hands to bait and tackle on Route 109. Nicky D, how's it going, brother?
It's doing great down here. Still a little cold, but, you know, like you said, those tog guys, they don't care about the cold. They're out there looking for those double-digit tog.
Dude, I thought, I'm an ice guy. I thought ice fishermen were nuts. Those tog guys, man. See, with ice fish, you don't have to deal with 4 to 5 when rolling. These guys are crazy, man. There's some that bite is ferocious from what I'm hearing. What do you got?
We're stocked up on white legger crabs. We keep them in the store.
Oh,
the guys,
you got you got leggers?
We got leggers for the crazy toggers.
Whoa. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
And the stripers are still doing good down here.
Talk to me about the bass.
Yeah, a little slow with our surf guys with the cold temps and the high winds. But, you know, the guys, when this west wind, they're allowed to troll our beachfronts, you know, with no problems. Yeah. And they're just smacking them down.
Nick, what are they trolling? Umbrellas?
A little bit of everything, you know. They're trolling the mojos like always down here. Yeah. But, you know, a couple guys are throwing out some plugs and throwing out some shads when they're seeing the birds dive in. And, of course, you got to love those big flutter spoons.
Nick, the flutter spoons finally came into their own. All of a sudden, was it the past week and a half, I see it up in some of the northern waters. That was like a dead issue for a while. Now, all of a sudden, you go to the pet, there's no flutter spoons left. So
when these big bunkers are in town, they're looking for those wide baits.
Yeah, yep. Nick, on the shads now, the NLBNs, no live bait needed, or standard rockfish candy shads. What's the dealio?
Oh, yeah, and also you got to remember the tsunami heavy shads. I mean, they're just
I saw a guy with those. I mean, he had sent me some photos bigger. He had the 8 or 9 inch with the two hooks in it, and chartreuse. That was it.
Yep, troll them. You can cast them. You can jig them.
So, Nick, I'm now on these tog. You got the Cape May Reef down there. You got the Townsend Inlet Reef. All local areas there, and guys are finding their own structure. How long do you think this tog bite's going to last with this chill going on?
They don't care. The guys will go to deeper water if they need to.
Uh-huh.
That's the way it works down here. I mean, we got a lot of wrecks down here. So the guys, once those inshore wrecks start just slowing down a little bit, they'll push out to 90 feet of water.
That's what I was thinking.
They'll find those big tog.
And, Nick, those are quality blackfish out there, man. Holy God.
Quality blackfish. Yep, yep. We sell crabs all winter long down here.
Wow, really? Whoa. And then, Nick, now is it, because I've been on boats where both worked, where sometimes it's only white lagers. They don't want the greens. And believe it or not, once in a while, the opposite. Is it primarily a white lager bite from now on?
Once they move into that deeper water, the guys really concentrate on those white lagers. I mean, that's what those fish are down there eating. They're eating white lagers, calicos, you know. So a crab will always work, and sometimes even the clams work, because like, once it gets real cold, and sure, they'll switch to the clams, because you know, they don't want to chump on the crabs and freezing.
Okay, Nick Dutton, Hand Soup, Bait and Tackle. Give that address, Facebook, Instagram. What do you got, Nicky?
That 970 Route 109. And Sue Bait and Tackle, 609-884-2248.
This is a great, tight store, small but mighty, but watch out for the dog. I'm telling you.
Bring your shin back.
Watch out. I keep saying this because I don't want to get sued. Watch out for the dog. Okay, Nick, I'm going to talk to you. Merry Christmas. I'll probably see you in about a week or I'm going to be down Ponda Lodge. Hey, listen, here's the deal. Oh. If that freezes over, you know, my fat ass, I'll go out there in 3 inches. I don't care. There's going to be some great ice fishing going on there, Dutton. Those big trout are still swimming around, man. You take care of it. Yeah, you never saw an Italian walrus, did you?
No.
Okay, Nick, you take care, man. Be good.
No, thanks. Bye now.
Yeah, then things are happening now. Cape is still hot. Cape May is still hot. Stripers, and you do have the Tog. Man, they really tomahawked them, man. Coping those guys. Whoa. God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless our first responders and law enforcement. And just if you be out there doing the drives, just be safe. Enjoy. Have a great, great buck week, as it's called. And just enjoy. And the Bears, and it's weather, man. They may have gone to den, but there'll still be a few Bruins going up on the meat poles. God bless America. One more time. God bless America. God bless our troops. And God bless our first responders. See you next week. Rack and Fin Radio.